Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m., here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship here with us today. I'm Dave Yonker. I'm a senior pastor here. It's my pleasure to welcome you all into our church family today. Welcome our friends who are also joining us on Facebook Live and through our church website. Wherever you find yourself here today, we're so glad that you are part of our virtual and wider family of faith this morning. As we're gathered, we ask that you take out your worship bulletin that you received on the way in the main doors this morning. And on the right-hand side, you'll find our little tear-off sheet that says Connect at the very top. So you're invited to tear it off now and fill it out and let us know that you were here with us in church today. On the back side, you can also check one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about growing in your faith through our congregation here, if you'd like to be involved in some place that you're not already involved in. You can also jot down prayers, praises or prayer concerns that you have in your life. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the basket that our ushers will pass on during our offertory a little bit later on in our worship service today. If you take a look at the back side of the bulletin, you see things that are going on in the life of our church. You can still sign up for our Paint-a-thon, which is coming up this week. We're so grateful and glad to be a part of this community-wide event now in its 30th year. And so we have a great team that's assembled to help paint a house that we're going to be sponsoring this week. If you have time, if you'd like to help out, let us know today and we can find a place for you. We're looking forward to our Growing Hope Globally dinner called the Global Farm Experience coming up on September the 17th after this worship service. We mentioned last week that maybe you don't know that we have about 3.5 acres of crops that are planted with soybeans around our church here. They were planted by a volunteer farmer that Growing Hope Globally connected us with. In the fall, once the soybeans are harvested, we'll receive the proceeds and then we get to give them to a farmer someplace far away to help them buy their own seeds and plant their own crops. Over the past few years, we've helped farmers in Haiti and the Dominican Republic and Honduras all over the place. And so it's certainly a very cool ministry that we are a part of. And so we're looking forward to this event coming up on September 17th. Next week is our Bounce Back to Church event, which is kind of our fall kickoff Sunday. Our backpacks have been blessed a few weeks ago. Our kids are now back in school. Labor Day weekend is now here, and so it's now time to kind of kick off big, fun church events. And so we're looking forward to bouncing back to church on September the 10th as classes kind of get going, and they officially begin September the 17th. Also on that day, the 17th, one more reminder. We've been reminding you for the past few weeks. This service is moving to 10:30 on September 17th, and so you've got a few more minutes to kind of dilly-dally at home or come early and have coffee here in the Narthex and Fellowship Hall. There are lots of classes that are going to be started, and so we can find a place for you if you would like to come and be a part of a Sunday school class. And so beginning the 17th of September, we'll have traditional service at 8:30, Sunday school at 9:30, and then contemporary service here at 10:30. And so it'd be a great time to be a church family together.
Sing with me. In this obsession with the things this world says makes us happy, can't see the slaves we are in all the searching, all the grasping, like we deserve much more than all these blessings we're holding. So now I'm running free into an ocean of mercy unending. So come and empty me so that it's you I breathe. I want my life to be holy, Christ in me. So I will fix my eyes, 'cause you're my source of light. I need the world to see that it's Christ in me, yeah. That it's Christ in me, yeah.
Done with what holds me down, the things I once was chasing after. Throw off these heavy chains that I have let become my master.
Please pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for all the wonderful you have made the day today. We are blessed to be a part of your work. Allow us to open our hearts to hear your message today, that we may be renewed. May we feel your love as we sit here together. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you're being seated, I invite the children of the church to join me for children's moment.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red, yellow, black, and white, they're precious in his sight. He loves the little children of the world. Yes, he loves the little children of the world.
How are we doing this morning? That's terrific. Okay, I've got a few questions for you before we get started. I need two colors. Just shout them out, okay? What else? Ironically enough, those were the two colors we had in first service, too. I need an item and a sport. So an item, okay? And what kind of sport? Okay? I need a number, okay? Two types of food. Yes. Strawberries? Yes, Hunter? Food. Okay. And another number. Okay, and one more sport, soccer. Okay, let's see how this turns out. When I was younger, I wanted to be in the Olympics. It would be so much fun. I would represent the USA by wearing pink shirts and purple shorts with a football on my head as a hat. My main event would be basketball. I would train for 10 days by eating only strawberries and a yellow watermelon. Every day, I would practice for 8 hours. Then I would go to sleep and start all over the next day. After winning gold in my main event, I would go on to win bronze in soccer. Then I would retire from the Olympics. 1 year would be enough. It was a lot of hard work. While this is a silly way to talk about the Olympics, we know that it's really hard to get there. There's a lot of pressure, and one mistake could cost you the gold medal. And if you don't do good and don't finish in the top three, you don't even get recognized or a medal. However, in life, you made several sacrifices or had to give up a lot to prepare. As Christians, we too make sacrifices. Jesus spoke to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 28, warning them not to be concerned of things of the world, but to focus on lasting things that would matter. Being a Christian isn't always easy. We might not do the same thing as some of our friends, and it may seem like we are missing out on certain activities or opportunities because we chose to follow God. But in the end, it's worth it. Why? Because ultimately, it was Jesus who made the biggest sacrifice possible. He gave up his godly throne to come to earth and live as a human. He gave up his life so we could be saved and have eternal life forever. Jesus paid it all. Loving and serving him brings us the promise of heaven, and we don't have to do much but believe in him. That is something worth living for and celebrating, and is even better than a gold medal. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your love. You are worth more than the whole world. Help us to be willing to live for you, knowing that you sacrificed everything for us. We are truly blessed. In your name we pray. Amen. And I ask that you join us outside for Children's Church today at the Bounce House. So parents, please pick your children up at the Bounce House. Thanks.
Singing joy to the world. All the boys and girls now. Joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea. Joy to you and me.
So, there were these two guys, and they were stranded on a desert island. The one guy was just frantic. He was so nervous and just, he couldn't stand it. The other guy just leaning up against a tree and he's just cool as a cucumber. So the frantic guy asked the calm guy, "Well, aren't you afraid that we're going to die out here? That nobody's ever going to find us?" And the guy said, "Nah." He said, "I make $100,000 a week. $100,000 a week." And he said, "And I tithe faithfully to my church every week. My pastor will find us." God loves a cheerful giver. It's now time to receive our tithes and offerings.
You are the source of life. I can't be left behind. No one else will do. I will take hold of you. 'Cause I need you, Jesus. Come to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow you. This world has nothing This world has nothing for me.
I will follow you.
This world has nothing for me.
I will follow you.
This world has nothing for me. Sing it if you know it. 'Cause I need you, Jesus, to my rescue. Where else can I go? There's no other name by which I am saved. Capture me with grace. I will follow you.
What a privilege it is for us to come together knowing that God is there for us, hearing our prayers. So let us go to God into a time of prayer together. God of blessing, we give you thanks now for the gifts given to your service and to your church. Bless them, and we pray that these gifts would be used to strengthen your church and share your word of grace and forgiveness throughout the world. Eternal God, you in whom all beginnings are a mystery, but in whom also was the Word, we thank you for your word made flesh. We thank you that in your word there is life, bringing light to all people. May your word continue to penetrate our beings and our behaviors. We are grateful today. We are grateful for the richness of the biblical witness and its reminders of the potential we hold within us. We are grateful for the reminders of the heavenly vision which leads us onward and causes us to grow and to reach for gains that we have yet to realize. We are grateful for reminders that our lives are intended for rich community, fellowship, and service. We ask for your continued care for a greater understanding of life and a greater confidence in navigating through all that life brings. Help us to lean upon you and find strength for our journey. When we are timid, give us courage. When we are anxious, give us peace. When we falter, gently nudge us to continue. When we are offended, enable us to forgive, and when we are discouraged, lift our spirits. God, we come together this day, each of us at different points in the journey, and you meet us right where we are. We pray for those who are among us today, weary from caring for loved ones, tired and worried. Strengthen them, encourage them, and bring them comfort. We pray for those who come today struggling with their own health. And we lift up those who are unable to attend church today because of health issues. Lord, in your great wisdom, we pray for healing where it is needed, in whatever form that may take. You know all things, and you know what each person needs in body, mind, and spirit. Grant us your sacred wholeness in whatever ways we are needing it. Lead us, O God, in a journey of deeper understanding of your word. Give us compassion for the disadvantaged, the disenfranchised, the forgotten, and the bitter. We look for Christ in these neighbors whom we often overlook. May we find new ways to love our sisters and brothers. May we be inspired by the radical love of Jesus Christ that broke boundaries, pushed expectations, and called his followers to do the same. May we follow his examples throughout our lives, through our treatment of the other, through our genuine love of all others, and through our prayer and devotion of you. And so we lift our voices to draw closer to you, praying the prayer that Jesus Christ taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 through 29. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Thanks be to God for God's good word.
This past week, I was thinking about my old friend Lee. She was a part of our church family when we lived and served up in Sterling, Illinois. Lee was great. She was at every single church event that we held. She was at every single worship service, every single Sunday morning. She came to all the fellowship dinners, all the women's group outings. She was sincere, she was hilarious, and she was just a wonderful person to always have around. I was thinking about her this past week as summer is now turning into fall and baseball is nearing the home stretch. And while some of our favorite teams are long since dead and gone at this point at the end of the season, other teams still have games that matter and to still play in. I was thinking about Lee because she was a Cubs fan through and through. They were her team through thick and thin, through good years and through lots and lots of bad ones. She would listen to almost every single game on WGM AM radio. She would watch the games on television in the afternoon whenever they came on. And she would often come to church wearing her old blue Cubs jacket and her old worn out blue Cubs hat. And whenever I would stop by her house to make a call as one of her pastors, very often the game would be playing in the background on the TV in the other room. And she would often give me a hard time as being a Cardinals fan, stopping by a Cubs fan's house. She knew the players by name and by number, and she would sometimes even keep a handwritten scorecard while watching the games on TV, every run, every hit, every error. I mean, we all have things like, right? I mean, in life, I mean, we have our hobbies, we have our favorite things to do whenever we are not at work, whenever we are not busy. If it's music, if it's art, if it's gardening, we love and we are loyal to our favorite band and our favorite artist. We may have a certain author that we read every single book they've ever written and published. We pledge allegiance to all kinds of things in life. We know that whenever we are in school, we always recite the Pledge of Allegiance there. We offer our love and our loyalty at our wedding. I mean, we have our things that are important and the things that are full of relationships for us. But for Lee, it was baseball. She was loyal to the Cubbies her whole entire life. And God bless her, I was thinking about her back in 2016 when after 108 years the Cubs won the World Series. She had passed away a few years prior and we had had her funeral service. She never got to experience a World Series. But if she would have been alive, she would have come to church wearing her old blue worn out Cubs jacket and been dancing down the aisle. We'd have to kick her out and send her back home wearing that old jacket. Just kidding, we wouldn't have done that, but she would have been wearing it all the time, everywhere she went. Let's think about her this past week. As Pastor Brooke and I were talking about loyalty, as we were getting ready for the Bible study lesson and reading this scripture passage, because this is where Jesus is about today. He's talking about Peter and James and John and what the disciples are willing to pledge their allegiance to and what they are loyalty to. He's calling into question their ability to be his disciples and be his followers, and is wondering if there's anything that's standing in the way of their relationship and love for him. Will they be loyal and faithful enough, he's wondering, to follow him all the way to the cross? I mean, this is what Jesus is about today. Now, over the past few weeks, if you have been in church here, or maybe you've been watching online, then you know that over the past couple of weeks, we have been following Jesus through Matthew's gospel. And so we saw Jesus up in like the small towns of Caesarea Philippi and Tyre and Sidon, these tiny little towns up in the northern part of Israel, teaching and preaching. We saw him feed more than 5,000 people with just a few little loaves of bread and fish. There's more than enough to go around. We even saw him calming the storms as he went walking across the water and calmed the nerves of the disciples. And even last week, we saw Jesus talking to Peter and the disciples asking them questions, wondering what they thought about him. Who do you say that I am? He asked. And we heard last week Peter clear his throat and say, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are God in the flesh, human form. That's where we've been up to this point. It's been building up to naming and identifying who Jesus Christ is as the Son of God. It's been great leading up to this point. But now maybe you notice there's like a change in the tone of Jesus. Jesus seems to be like that guy in that Snickers commercial who's literally a bear in the backseat of his friend's car because he is so hungry, he is hangry. Like he is not himself. He is so hungry, so eat a Snickers or something. Like maybe Jesus woke up on the wrong side of the bed and he needs to go back to bed and take a nap or something, because we heard Jesus being called the Messiah last week, and now he's going to tell us what this really means. You see, we heard the scripture. Jesus said from then time on, he began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, undergo great suffering, be handed over to the hands of the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and raised on the third day. As he's named as the Messiah, he's telling them what being the Messiah means. The heat's going to get turned up. It's going to be hard. He'll be handed over and killed and raised on the third day. And so our good friend Peter, the guy who said, you're the Messiah after all, he's not quite sure what to make of all of this. He kind of pulls Jesus aside and he's like, are you sure you know what you are doing? I mean, you're the Messiah, right? But you're going to be killed. Are you sure this is where you want to go? And so Jesus looks at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. You're now a stumbling block. You're putting your mind not on the ways of God, but on human things. If you want to become my follower, deny yourself, carry your own cross, and follow me. If you want to find life, you have to lose it. And when you lose your life, you'll find it. You almost feel bad for Peter. A moment ago, Jesus said, you're the rock on which I'm going to build my church. And now Jesus calls him the devil. I mean, give Jesus a Snickers or something. I mean, give the man a break, a Coke and some peanuts or something. He seems to be having a hard time. But maybe there's a reason behind this. Coming at Peter with this fire and brimstone, this almost anger. It seems he's trying to redefine what being the Messiah means. About what it means to be a follower of the Messiah. He's not some king who's going to overthrow the government, not going to ride into Jerusalem on the back of some Cadillac, some old kind of fiery chariot. It's not anything like that at all. Being the Messiah, Jesus says, is about following and loving God with all that you have. Denying yourself, putting your own wants and needs behind you, carrying your cross, and being just like Jesus. He wants to know where their loyalties are and if they can make it with him to the very end. Their priorities and their allegiance and what's behind them. And he literally tells Peter to get behind him and follow. Now, when you hear these words from Jesus today, it's one of these passages that at least for me, it's like, okay, what do we do with this here? It's kind of one's making us take a deep breath or something about what it means to carry our cross and deny ourselves. But for me, it's like this. This writer by the name of Rob Bell tells the story about what it was like back in the day when rabbis would call their own disciples and invite people to follow them. About what life was like back in the first century AD, like back in the days of Jesus. And so rabbis would go to these various synagogues and they would invite students to actually stop what they're doing and then follow them from now on, to kind of walk behind them and learn from them. And so from an early age, these rabbis would go and they would pick out the best and the brightest of students to drop everything and follow. But those who were not at the top of the class, those who were not the best and the brightest, they would actually stay in the class and kind of keep on learning. Over time, other rabbis would come in and they would pick other people to follow them from whoever was left. And so they would then leave and they would follow. But finally, for those students who were left there at school, whenever they got older, whenever they finished school, they would move on to other things in life. They would become carpenters. They might fish for a living in the Sea of Galilee. They would do a great job making a good, honest living. But the thing is, Rob Bell said, that when Jesus came along, the guys that he picked to be his disciples were not the top of the class kind of people. They weren't the Ivy League students. Those students had already been long gone and chosen by somebody else. The people that Jesus chose to be his followers were the leftovers. Peter and James and John and people like Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Jesus called these ordinary people to drop their nets and follow him. And so back in the first century, back in the days of Jesus, when you were called by your rabbi, you would literally walk behind them doing everything that they did. Learn and teach and interpret the scriptures and share the love of God. These students would do everything their rabbis did. I mean, it's no wonder a few weeks ago that Peter tried to get out of the boat and walk on the water just like his rabbi, Jesus, did. Very often they would walk so close that if they were going down a dusty, dirty road, kind of like the country roads that we have around here, that if you drive on a regular basis, soon your car is covered in dust. And if you go on it after day, sometimes your kids will write, "Wash me," in the back window of your car because it is so dusty and so covered in dust. For those disciples who were following their rabbi Jesus, they might find themselves literally covered in the dust of their teacher. Following so closely, they would be covered in his ways, in his love and dust. You see, this is it for us. Jesus invites us to follow, not just when it's easy, not just when everyone else is doing it, when it is cool and it's popular and it doesn't cost us anything. And on those days, we can proclaim like everybody else in the crowd, Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. He invites us to do more than that. Today, he invites us to follow, not just on those days when we are ticking marks in the win column of life, but to follow him when it costs us our life. Our call is to be covered in the ways of Jesus Christ and to cover ourselves in the love of God, to proclaim and live out the good news of Christ alive in our life. May it be so for us. Let us pray. Oh, loving and gracious God, we're so thankful for the ways of Jesus Christ and for his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, that covers us and blesses us every single day. Help us, oh God, to stay true to your word for us and in us, to deny the will inside of us that the world sets there, but to follow you, to be people of grace and hope, of love and compassion. Help us, O God, to put the ways of Jesus Christ into practice as we follow him so closely. Fill us and bless us this day. In your name we pray. Amen.